So as I have been saying through this service so far, it is Pentecost. We are therefore thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, as soon as we start thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit, sometimes for some of us, especially those of us who've maybe been Church of England for quite some time, we can get a little bit angsty about it, can't we? Like, oh, I don't know, what's this all about? It sounds very kind of wacky and out there. Relax. Yes, within the Church of England, we sometimes have a fairly rigid set way of doing things, and any deviation from the norm is unsettling. And then sometimes we look out across at what's happening at some of the other churches around the place. And maybe we see the Pentecostal churches and it leaves us a little bit anxious. It leaves us thinking about what we might be missing out on. Or alternatively, it leaves us thinking, thanking God that we are not like them. Though, of course, bear in mind that Jesus told a parable about a Pharisee thanking God that he wasn't like the tax collector over there. And of course, the Pharisee is the one who comes off very badly in that. So we do need to watch ourselves. We need to watch our attitude when we think about these things. But yes, we can legitimately be quite anxious about it, can't we? We can be left asking all sorts of questions. Was Pentecost just a one-off? This amazing reading that David read for us of the Spirit descending, the wind, the fire, the different languages. Is it always supposed to be like that? Tongues of fire. It's interesting that here in church, actually, we have one of the windows. It depicts the day of Pentecost. If you don't know about it, it's the very right-hand panel of the window at the far end depicts Pentecost. It sort of domesticates it because you can probably make out the dove descending on the disciples who are below, and the tongues of fire become these very sort of, you know, bit like a candle almost on their heads. But I don't suppose it was really like that. I suppose that it was really unsettling for them, something they'd never experienced quite like it before. Is it a one-off, or is it always supposed to be like that? That's the first question. Is the work of the Holy Spirit always so overtly supernatural? Because what's being described is something that just doesn't happen in the ordinary run of things. Is this kind of stuff only for the overly keen or the slightly eccentric? Because they may have well have been thinking like that as well, mightn't they? Anyone else feel like this? Is it just me? Maybe it is. I don't know. But actually, we can easily get a little bit concerned about these things. So the first thing I want to say this morning is that the Spirit of God is already at work in you. It can't be that scary, can it? It can't be that anxious for us. The Spirit of God is already at work in you. In literally everyone, the Spirit of God is already at work. See, the words of the New Testament, and therefore the recorded words of Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit, is the word pneuma. It's a Greek word, because that's the language of the New Testament. It is a word meaning breath, or air, or wind. And in the same way, the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, there's a similar idea of using the word for breath, or the breath of God, to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. So right at the beginning of the Bible, as human beings are being created, in Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." And that same idea is picked up in the very famous chapter from the prophet Ezekiel, where Ezekiel has a vision of a valley full of dry bones. And the breath of God, the Spirit of God, breathes life into the dry bones. And the point is that by virtue of being alive, you'd have the Spirit of God at work in you. Without God's life-giving and sustaining spirit, you'd be like the dry bones, or like the dust of the earth before God breathed life into Adam. So that's the first way that the Spirit of God is at work in you, already at work in you, giving you life, sustaining your life. And that's why I can say that the Spirit of God is at work in literally every single one of us. No Spirit, no life. It's as simple as that. But there's, of course, so much more that comes along with the Spirit of God, isn't there? So the second way that the Spirit is at work in us is actually unique to Christians. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 8 and verses 15 and 16, by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So it's this idea that as we come to the kind of faith which is able to call God our Father, it's the Spirit that is enabling us to do that. So again, not entirely scary, because most people in here have come to that point, haven't we? We've come to the point of being able to say, God is my Father. And it's only by the Spirit of God that we are able to do that. Similarly, from Ezekiel again, the prophet Ezekiel again, the heart of stone is replaced with a heart of flesh in his prophecy. That movement of the stone-cold deadness of a life without Jesus to the alive, beating heart of life with him. Sins forgiven and that relationship with God restored. The relationship where we can call him Abba, Father. Abba is like their term for calling God Dad. That kind of closeness of relationship. In the Pentecost reading from Acts, we pick up the same idea at the end of Peter quoting. He quotes from the prophet Joel that faith in each of us is a work of God's Spirit, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's that the Holy Spirit building faith in us so that we can call on the name of the Lord. And I expect many of us here will have had that experience. That coming alive in the Spirit. Maybe a slow realization. Some of us it happened in a very slow kind of way over many years. Maybe a light bulb going on in your head. Maybe something dramatic, different for every one of us. We are unique children of God. But then suddenly everything becomes very real. Jesus is Lord. Sins get forgiven in his name. Life in all its fullness for us. And the hope of heaven. Everything becomes very much alive. I remember it vividly. I was 17. I knew a lot about faith. But only in the moment when I realized that everything changes in the light of faith did that sense of aliveness come. The Apostle Paul again puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 12. No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, faith in you, faith in me, is another work of God's Holy Spirit. So the Spirit, the breath of God, gives life, but the life that everyone experiences is only partial. And then the Spirit gives new life as we come to faith in Jesus, that growing, transforming faith life. But more than that, we keep on going because the work of the Holy Spirit is not nearly finished there. More than that, sometimes the Spirit is at work in new, unexpected and miraculous ways. And that, of course, is what's happening at Pentecost in the reading that we heard. I think there's no expectation that anything like that would happen again in the same way. It's not like the Spirit of the Lord doesn't have imagination for new and different things every time. Of course he does. But there is an expectation from Joel's prophecy again that Peter is quoting. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And again, many of us, particularly those who've been Christians for a long time, we've all got stories, don't we? We all have stories about how God, through his Holy Spirit, has been intervening and working in our lives in ways that we might say are miraculous, and others might say, well, that's just coincidental. It doesn't matter, does it? Because if something appears as a coincidence to one person and a miracle to another, it can equally be the work of the Holy Spirit. So we all have stories. I think of somebody who I was training for ministry with when I was doing my training. We were in the chapel at the college, and actually it had been something that she'd been very concerned about for a long time. It was her hearing. She knew that she was going deaf. She knew that that would massively affect her future ministry. People had been praying about it. But in that moment, we were just in chapel, worshipping the Lord. And suddenly there's a kerfuffle over there. And it's because suddenly she can hear everything crystal clear. And actually, all credit to them, the person who was leading the service stopped the service, realised something was going on. And we just prayed for her in that moment. Not asking God to do something by that stage, but thanking God for the amazing thing that he had done. We've all got stories like this, don't we? God will never be proven. We can't treat this kind of prayer in the Holy Spirit as a slot machine. Put in the money and out comes the chocolate bar. It doesn't work like that. God won't be proven. But the Spirit is at work. And coincidentally, we've all got stories like that. Because we all hear of these things that God is doing. Strange workings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we call this being filled with the Spirit. Sometimes it's associated with the prayer language of tongues, sometimes not. Always, these more miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit are there for a purpose. Right? God's got purpose in this world. We are moving in the direction of his kingdom. And in today's gospel passage, Jesus touches on this when he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we see that the strange work of the Holy Spirit is associated with the mission of God. Jesus has been sent by God. He sends the disciples and those who will follow him with the breath of the Holy Spirit in them. It's for the purpose of the mission of God. So don't worry about the work of the Spirit, because the Spirit's already at work in you. It's not something to be worried about or afraid of. The Spirit is keeping you alive. More than that, if you are a Christian here this morning, growing faith in you. And even more than that, actually the Spirit is doing whatever the Spirit wants to take further the mission of God. And that can only be a good thing. So what I'm going to suggest now is that we do what we can to really let this sink in. Where are you at today with the workings of the Holy Spirit? Are you thanking God that you are alive today, still breathing in and out the breath of God, the pneuma, the Spirit of God? Then we need to take time to be thankful for life as we know it. Are you earnestly seeking, maybe because you've never yet experienced it, or because you want to see some kind of revival of it? Are you seeking a renewal of that new life in the Spirit? The sense of aliveness that God gives us through faith in Jesus. That intimacy with God where we get to call him Abba, Father. So maybe we need to be praying for a renewal of that intimacy with God. Or are you praying like Isaiah when he prays, "Here I am, Lord, send me," with a sense of fill me, equip me, empower me to both show and share your good news with those around about me? So three ways particularly, there are many other ways, but three ways particularly that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, keeping us alive. Giving us the new life through faith in Jesus, or sending us to be part of his kingdom mission in this world with the signs and the wonders that sometimes accompany it. So what I'm going to ask us to do, to help us with this, I've asked the band to play and repeat for us a very simple chorus that can hopefully become our prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I'm going to ask them to play it several times over so we can just let it sink in. Let it become our prayer. Let's be inviting God to be at work in us right now and in the future. Maybe you're going to be praying it for yourself. At the beginning of the service, I asked you just to ask the person who you were speaking to one thing that you could pray for them. And maybe you can make their prayer request part of this idea of Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Maybe you want to be praying it for our nation or our world right now. But let's not forget also to be asking God to be at work in us as well. So the band are ready to play. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we sing, let's be praying.